Everybody hear me in the back? If you can't hear me, raise your hand. Okay. Tom is preaching down in Marshall this morning. And then he asked me to fill in for him. He wished me luck, which I appreciate. We are studying, we are in the book of Romans, and I did tell Tom that he assigned me Romans chapter 6, and that's what we'll be covering this morning along with a few other items here. Would you bow with me if we pray, please? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us to come to worship you, Father. Father, we ask that you help us learn your word and to apply it to our everyday life, Father. We thank you for your Son, and the love that he had for us and the love that he had for you, Father. We ask that you watch over us and guide us. Father, continue to forgive us of our sins. Help us endure, Father, when the time comes that we are to depart this world, that we will be found faithful in your sight. And this is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen. You know, we hear a lot of things today. Many changes, many concerns, many ups and downs. I'd like for you to, probably some of you know it by, let's read a couple of passages that really should encourage us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not as a result of work. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we are saved by Jesus Christ. Sometimes I find it hard with so much negativeness going around and what have you to remember Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there are any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So regardless of what happens to this whole world and how it transcends, and what, and that is that we know that we have God, We have our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and we know where we are going to spend eternity if we stay on that path. There. It is not. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. There. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 deals with believers, death to sin in principle. What is a death in principle? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So I got the grace of God, and I know that. So I can still go ahead and go out and commit sin arbitrarily. No, that isn't the intent here. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We don't. We don't live for sin, we live for Christ. We buffet our bodies daily to stay on that path. We refrain ourselves from our past. Even though we do not completely forget about some of the things that we have done in the past before we put on Christ, some things are still with us. Some not that we hold on to them, but we remember certain things will happen and it'll bring it back to us. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When we are baptized, we are baptized in Jesus' death. And when we come out of that water, we've been raised again, just like Christ was raised to sin no more. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What should we do? Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We are to do the best possible way we can. And when we do fall and stumble, and that we are to ask God forgiveness, to repent of it. All of us, that there, none of us are different. We all make mistakes, we all sin. But we ask God's forgiveness, whom we do, and we pick ourselves back up. And we continue to walk down that path, growing and growing and growing in Christ, knowing more and more and more. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There. Christ was perfect in all ways. No exceptions, no slips, no whoops. There. He was perfect. The only thing that makes us pure is Christ. Nothing else but. That's why God sent Jesus. Because God knew that we couldn't walk that path. And he had taken away, he knew Jesus would fulfill his task on dying for yours and my sins. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In our new body, being resurrected like Jesus was, is that we don't harbor sin in our lives anymore. We don't have that old man anymore. We don't have that old sin anymore. We are to do away with sin in our lives. Some sins are more difficult for some people than other sins. You may find something particular hard to stop doing, but we are to refrain from it. Pray to God. Yes, pray to him. And ask him to take it away, to help you forget it, to help you live a better Christian life. Like Dave said a couple weeks ago, being a Christian doesn't make you a wimp. Like I've always said when people talk regarding Christ and his boyhood and his manhood and everything, Jesus, how in the world could anybody believe that Jesus was a wimp? There, he couldn't have been. Because Joseph, his earthly father, was a carpenter. And if you ever looked at some of the tools and what have you that they had to work with back then, and the physique of some of those guys, their arms, their shoulders, their back, and that Jesus was far from being a wimp. But yet he went out and he died for you and I. We are no longer to serve sin. We are to kick that out of our lives and follow Christ closer. From verse 7 he reads, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." In principle, we are freed from sin. Why? Because Jesus already took it away. He died for our sins. I'll go as far to say he died for my sins that I haven't even committed yet. Because he loves me. And he knows the trials and the tribulations. It says in the scriptures that he suffered and conquered some of the same sins that we face today. But he conquered them. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. What does it mean? We are to live with him.
There.
We will live with him in eternity. But I'll go a little step further on that. We are to live with him today. In our daily lives, we are to live with him.
There.
How can we serve if we don't? If we don't live with him and take his traits, his attitudes, and that into our lives that we are living today. Yes, you had a question?
I was just going to say, part of imitating Christ and trying to be like him on a daily basis goes with living in him.
Mm-hmm. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Under the law. All the sacrifices and everything that you had to do under the law, couldn't keep them. So the new covenant had to be established. And that was through Jesus Christ. But even then, after the old law was taken away and the new covenant was established, even then, God knew that we couldn't keep it. Because that's why he sent his son. We have grace.
Yes, we have grace.
But we cannot. We cannot. That does not give us an excuse to go out and do whatever we want, whenever we want. Yes, sir.
Going back to the first verse.
First verse?
In chapter 6.
Okay, yes, sir.
Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? We all continue to sin in some form or fashion within ourselves and ask for forgiveness from God. Isn't that a growing of grace? I mean, even as we study this first few verses here through 14, grace is increasing within us because we keep asking Christ to forgive us of our sins.
But that's the key.
What?
I said, that's the key. We ask. And God forgive. I believe, correct me if you don't agree, I agree, okay, that grace abounds. We commit sins, or maybe I should emphasize, I commit sins, okay, that none of you know about, okay? I commit things that sometimes I don't even know about. That's, to me, that's where grace really comes in, is the fact being is that God's willing to forgive us if we acknowledge Him, and we continue to walk daily in the path and the example that Christ left for us. He forgives us. There. Grace. True grace. There. Keith, you're on the edge of your seat. Looks like you're about ready to say something.
Well, you said that well. Grace is not for me when I say I'm going to go and commit sin. That grace does not cover us if we're deliberately sinning. And in this scripture, I think he's trying to combat the idea that they say, well, we are going to sin. We're going to do the sins that we want to because grace is going to cover us. It will not.
No.
Grace is for my ignorance. That's the best way to put it, I think. Grace covers me because, you know, we try to read and study and try to learn and understand, but we don't always get it. But that's where grace comes in. Grace doesn't come in when I say, well, I'm going to go to this place and I know it's wrong. That's not what we want. We don't go to that place because of the love God had for us. That's the reason we don't go there. That's the drive that keeps us from going there. We don't go there to produce grace. It's funny how this comes about. I don't even understand why someone would want to say, well, I'm going to sin so grace may abound. That just trips me out. I don't even get that part. But I believe if you look at it as grace covers us because of our ignorance and the fact that we're human and we can't be perfect, that's where God's grace comes in. That's the that's the blood of Christ continuously cleansing us.
If I intentionally go someplace that I know I shouldn't and I choose to go ahead and go there, okay. No grace there. No grace. I know I'm not supposed to go there, but I get too close to the fire, and you're going to get singed.
But that doesn't mean that there's not forgiveness. There is forgiveness when we ask God. Whenever, whatever we've done, there is that forgiveness. And we need to realize that. But we're trying to just deliver it. Say, well, I'm going to do this. Christ-like, and God's grace, I don't believe covers that. I don't think it's what He's got there for.
But there's nothing that God cannot forgive.
Amen. That's true.
Boy. John?
As we're trying to follow God, though.
Pardon?
As we're trying to follow God, and we are, we again. If God's grace wasn't there, I'd be in a bad shape.
Amen.
As a Christian matures, his knowledge of sin and grace should be maturing with him.
Yes.
A Christian's idea of sin is different than a mature Christian's view of sin. I think God's grace covers everything. Sin is sin. There's not a big sin or a little sin. Sin is sin. And I think it covers everything. If now I'm saying here that you don't do things just to sin, for sin's sake, because now you're a Christian. But that doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven, even if you sin for sin's sake. God is bigger than us. If you're a mature Christian, you know not to. But if you're a young Christian and you sin for sin's sake, God still, in my thinking, his grace is big enough to forgive that person. This whole thing you remember is being written to a church that's fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, he's trying to explain when the law was given, the more you knew about the law, the more you realized you couldn't meet it. The same thing with being a Christian. The more you know about Christian, the more you realize you're not perfect.
The more you need grace.
The more you need grace.
That's it. Brother Williams.
I'm going to make a couple comments. As Brother Keith and Brother John just mentioned,
you got to speak up.
Paul is dealing with some false teaching that had been taking place in Rome. It was very prevalent in Gnostic Gospels that, if you go back to the previous verse, in terms of chapter 5, verse 20, they were hanging their premise on the more sin is present, the relationship of grace covers all sin, and therefore they lived a life being subjected to sinning. So in chapter 6, it was a continuation where Paul was trying to confront them with that teaching that that's not the case. God forbid, we do not tempt God.
Mm-hmm.
As you go through the process, as Brother John has mentioned about maturing in Christ Jesus, you learn that you do not ever want to get to a point where you are tempting God. Yes, God is provider of grace. He can cover all sin. But as a Christian, we don't live a life towards sinning, flirting with the edges of tempting God. Then in verse 13, in verse 12, later in that chapter, you will see, he says, let not sin reign in your body, that you shall obey the lust. You do not want to be a toy for Satan. You are not put on this earth to be able to satisfy your own desires.
In tempting the Lord, you are to be different because you have been raised in Christ Jesus in verse 4. So it's the attitude of Christians. We're not living a life to sin to be able to be a beneficiary of grace. We're trying to sin less and less and less on our life journey.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I would just like to read from 1 John 3, 8 through 10. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And a lot about sin can be found if you read 1 John.
Say that again, please.
A lot of about sin can be found if you read in 1 John.
Yep.
The whole book.
For we do all sin. Once we become Christians, we try not to sin intentionally. We try to be that new person, that new man, new woman, walking as Christ has gave us the example. Yes, sir?
Go back. See if I can get everybody spurred up again. Go back to the point where we have our daily prayers. We ask for forgiveness of sin. After that prayer, we go out and sin. for whatever reason, knowingly or not knowingly, and we die, does God's grace cover us from that last prayer until we die? Is that what we're saying? Or what? Did I make that clear? Or what I was?
Yeah. Annetta?
Well, number one, 1 John says if we walk in the light, and notice that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we still sin, because there's still sin to be forgiven. And it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses away every sin. That's if we're trying to walk in the light and not in darkness. And then we have in Romans 8 where he says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. But even though we try to walk after that Spirit, there's going to be sin. And I think that's where God's grace covers us, as we continue to walk and ask God to forgive us. And I think that we could, if we are supposed to have a confidence in Jesus, there's no way to have a confidence in Jesus forgiving our sins if I have to have my very last moment to ask God to forgive me, or I would be lost. That's no way to live.
Amen. And that's not what I've said at all.
No.
I agree with what Jeanette is saying, but, and there's always a but. And it's like, you ask these kind of questions, when are you lost? I'm so thankful God's going to be the judge. It won't have to be me. But I believe God draws a very clean line. And he states that we're not going to be walking in his light. And I'm going to see that this is something of the devil, like what she just read out of 1 John. If we see that and we want to do that, and we still know God's law, that's going to be God's judgment.
Maybe we should be saying that God's grace won't cover that, or I should be saying that. But I think that if we are deliberately trying to sin, I think we'll get out from underneath God's grace. That's the direction you're heading in, and that's what my point is. When we start deliberately saying, I'm going to do something, then we'll walk it out from underneath God's grace. How far will it go? I don't know. But I know God's grace is perfect and is wonderful. It doesn't mature. We mature in how we say, I'm not going to go that direction. I'm not going to tempt that thing.
I'm not going to swear anymore. Regardless of how mad I get and how aggravated I get and everything, I will not, with God's help, will not swear anymore. Okay? And somewhere down the road I get hit and taken to the hospital and I die. Okay? I feel that great God has covered me through his grace, and that in the judgment I will face him. And I pray very diligently that my name will be in that book. Okay, so that's the John?
James 5:19. With my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, in this case he's referring to sin, someone should bring him back. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. If a person goes out and sins purposely, he is wandering from the truth.
Yep.
Okay? I think, you know, that's pretty evident. But at the same time, it shows here that if he turns back, a person, you know, convinces him that he's sinning and he turns back, that person is leading that sinner back and his errors will be forgiven him. So
we have a responsibility.
The path to truth. Okay. We cannot, we're, you know, the wide is the path, if we don't, if we say we're sinless, then we don't know what we're talking about. Okay. We're all going to sin. One way or the other. I mean, we're going to think something wrong. We're going to have ill feelings. We're going to say something wrong. We're going to do something. And I pray to God that my belief in grace is strong enough, and I know that He'll forgive me if I ask Him. And that's the whole thing. These people here are wandering away and are not asking for forgiveness.
Right.
I think that's the big difference.
You have to.
I think if we're not careful, again, the principle of Satan, grace and sin, has caused many, many members to follow false doctrine because of misunderstanding. What Paul is dealing with here, even in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, this is almost like a stop sign. It says, shall we continue? That means it's a process that sin was reigning
in their lives.
Process. He says, God forbid. It's a stop sign. You don't flirt with continuing to sin to ask God for forgiveness because you know God's grace is sufficient. It's not a relationship that you want to continue sinning. You want to be able to live a life knowing what's pleasing to God, which is to flee from sin. He's not saying you're not going to go through life without sin. He knows we're all human. But don't feel that it's okay to live a life going purposely sinning, asking God for forgiveness, because that's flirting and tempting God.
Well, I like your term, fleeing. Just think what would have happened if David would have ran. Not walked, but ran. And sometimes that's exactly what we have to do with some of the things that drag us down and away from Christ. We have to put them away. We have to run. We have to pray to God that that particular sin or whatever is removed. But let's finish out. Let's try to finish out this chapter. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You have a choice. You have a choice. Either you're going to continue in your old paths and that and suffer the consequences, or you're going to turn to righteousness, to God and His grace. There. We have a choice. There. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Who made the choice? You made the choice of whether or not you're going to continue to sin or whether or not you're going to live for Christ. Your choice. There. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to the iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Control your body, control your mind, control your thoughts. Control your feet. You remember the song that the little kids used to sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And that same thing. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
There.
Run. Run. Run from this whole world. Don't let them. It is so easy to get caught up.
We don't sin just to have the grace. He was trying to really teach them, because they were really believing that they could sin and still continue to be covered with their grace. And it's like, this is like a change coming into the church. And this is how he was combating it by telling them, you know, a lot of examples of what we said. You know, no, we don't do it because we live to not sin.
Verse 3, you're baptized in his death. So you're dead to sin now, and you rise to walk in the newness of life. You're a new creature.
In principle.
Well, yeah, you're still coming.
In principle. There. I'm going to leave on a positive note. I get tired of talking about sin. There. I get tired of hearing different things. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you're probably tired of me reading. But if we can get our minds and our hearts on this chapter, get our arms around it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity serveth long, and it is kind. Love envieth not. Love volleth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, sinketh not her on, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil. That's hard. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then the face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. There. I leave you with that. Love is the greatest. There. And there's somebody in our lives that we all love. There. Thank you very much. Hopefully, time will be back next week. Count your blessings.